Revelation chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. After this, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice, which I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet, said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." At once I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven, with one seated on the throne. And he who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. And around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones. Seated on the thrones were 24 elders, clothed in white garments, with golden crowns on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumbles and peals of thunder. And before the throne were burning seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal. And all around the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. And the first living creature like a lion, the second like a living creature like an ox, and the third living creature with the face of a man, and the fourth living creature like an eagle in flight. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around them and within. And day and night they never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. And they lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing upon the word today. Lord, may you speak to us as we look at who you are. May you speak to us. May you have your will in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning we want to focus on verses 8, 7 through 8, really, 6 through 8. John's vision of the Lord on the throne is not a singular vision. The vision we just read about, not a singular vision. Isaiah also saw this. We read in Isaiah 6, chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, Isaiah says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim, and each had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.'" Amen. When we read these words, "holy, holy, holy," and when we sing them as we just did a moment ago, what do we feel? Those of us in Christ may feel a sense of awe. We may feel that we are in the presence of the Holy One, or we may feel nothing. I think the latter comes from a lack of consideration of what the word holy, means. We're going to talk about that today. Consider this. Of all the words Scripture uses to describe God, of all the words that God has inspired to be written about him, holy is the one word repeated over and over and over in these two visions of heaven. Holy, holy, holy. Not love, love, love. Not sovereign, sovereign, sovereign. Not even righteous, righteous, righteous. Certainly God is all those things. But what we hear is holy, holy, holy. So what does holy mean? And the Greek word here is hagios. And the definition of hagios is different, unlike, other, otherness. And in the believer, hagios means likeness of nature with the Lord. Because different from the world. different from the world. God is proclaimed holy, holy, holy. Different, different, different. Different from what? From everything else. Different from the world. Well, what is the world then? We read in Scripture, we hear that word, the world. What is the world? James tells us in James 4, and this is kind of harsh, so I apologize ahead of time. He says, "You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." So what James is doing here is he is expressing the truth that when we belong to God and yet give our devotion to anything other than God, we are adulterous. Scripture is clear on this. There is the world, and by the world it means not the earth, but the things of the earth. Culture, politics, power, possessions, pride, the world. There's the world and there is God. You cannot cling to one and cling to the other. They are opposed to one another in a real way. God is different. Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, "No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and money. The principle that Jesus teaches here is clear. It applies to much more than just money. Our Lord continues on in Matthew, teaching us not to set our focus on the things of this life, on what we shall eat, what we shall drink, what we shall wear, but to seek first his kingdom above all things. John says this in 1 John 2:15 through 17. "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life is not from the Father, but from the world. The world is passing away with its desires, but whoever does the will of God remains forever." But we may say, now wait a minute. Doesn't John 3:16 teach us that God loved the world? No, John 3:16 teaches us that God's love encompasses all the inhabitants of the world. The message of John 3:16 is that God loves people, but hates sin. And that message is apparent from Genesis to Revelation. So now we see what the world is. It is power, politics, possession, pride, passion, and the desire and striving for these things. But holy, hagios, means different. We sometimes understand the word holy to mean set apart. And we think of holy places that are set apart for God, set aside for his use, or holy people set apart for his use. But the actual meaning is different. God is different, different, different. Note in this passage the creatures worshiping God. Strange creatures with the faces of a lion, an ox, an eagle, and a man. Their whole bodies are covered in eyes, seeing all directions at once. These creatures see everything. That's what those eyes signify. That's what they're there for. They see all of creation. They're on all four sides of the throne, seeing everything. And yet it's from their mouth, from the eyes, from the creatures that see everything, they proclaim that God is different. He alone is different. The thrice repetition indicates perfection, and the ancient church also found allusion here to the Trinity, the triune nature of God. He is holy, holy, holy. In all creation, only God is perfectly, ultimately holy. He is unlike anything or anyone else. And though the Holy Spirit dwells in the believer, and those of us in Christ have been brought into a relationship with God, God remains other. He is not attached to his creation like pantheism or the Force would suggest. Now, I'm a huge fan of Star Wars, so don't take offense to that if you are as well. But he is not, God is not the Force, all right? Yoda says, it's in the rock, and in the tree, and the, yeah, it's not. God is apart from his creation. He is not attached to his creation. He is apart from creation. In order for existence to exist, it needed one who has always existed in order to make it exist. Creation needed a creator, a causal agent, God. He is before and above and beyond all things. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, who was and is to come. He was holy, he is holy, and he will be holy. And as much as we struggle to understand God, and as much as we invent fine words and that we think we can explain him with, fine words that we think can explain his nature, perhaps it is this word sung by the company of heaven that describes him best. Holy! Really, what they're saying is indescribable. Beyond our words, so we're just going to say different. God is different, different, different. I am God and there is no other, he says throughout Scripture. There is none beside me. Who is like me, God says, over and over. He is so far beyond our human capacity for understanding. His love knows no limits. His mercy is never ending. His justice is without error. His righteousness is not just pure. His righteousness is purifying. His character does not simply define good. It makes those in his company good. He is different. He sees all, knows all, and loves us all. Anyway, as far as we can see with current methods and machines, the radius of the observable universe is, according to popular science, 46.508 billion light years. So what that means is if you start from Earth and go out to the furthest observable point, it's 46.508 billion light years. Meaning that if you set off from Earth to the furthest observable point in the universe and you traveled at the speed of light, which is 671 million miles an hour, and you traveled at that speed, it would take you 46 billion, 500 million plus years to get there. That's quite a trip. And I thought my former commute from Roseville was long. The universe is beyond massive. And as massive and all-encompassing as it seems, the universe was brought into being by one, now catch this, greater than his creation. God. Even words like massive and mighty and powerful cannot fully describe him, for he desires to be found in the most minute detail of our lives. This one of incomprehensible power desires intimate relationship with us. He made us for intimacy with Him. Beloved, this is why Father God calls us away from allegiances to the world. Because we weren't made for them. We were made for one who is altogether different. He is holy, and this world has nothing and no one like Him. Our God is perfectly holy, ultimately different, and He desires to give us Himself. The psalmist says in Psalm 73, "Whom have I in heaven but You? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides You." And these next words have been a huge comfort to us in the last few years. "My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." God desires to be our portion, to be ours. And He desires that we are His. Holy, holy, holy. Anything that competes with Him in our lives is so, so much less. And we began our time with the definition of holiness. Hagios is different, unlike, otherness. And the second part of that definition is, for the believer, it means likeness of nature with the Lord because different from the world. Likeness with the nature of the Lord. Our God is perfectly holy. And yet we see throughout Scripture that in Leviticus and 1 Peter, God says to His people, "Be holy, for I am holy." Notice the word again He uses there. We're called to be righteous, yes. We're called to be loving, yes. God says, "Be different, because I am different." Don't miss this. Holiness can mean set apart for God. But the word used for us when we are called to be holy throughout Scripture is the same word used to describe God. Hagios. Different. We are not simply a set apart people. People who are set apart for God and His use, but, you know, we just look the same like everyone else. There is a humble saying about evangelism that causes some confusion in this regard. And it says, "I'm just a beggar trying to tell other beggars where to find bread." I love that. It's beautiful. And while it's true in the fact that we are on equal footing before God, we are mistaken if we think we are not called to be any different from anyone else. We are set apart for Him. We are to be used by Him for His glory. But we are to be different. Because being in His company makes us different. And if we want to walk with an altogether different God, then we must be different. And any who dwell in His presence, any who walk in the light, will be made different by their association with the Most High. Different in all things, in every area. And beloved, I ask myself this, and I ask us all, is this true of our lives? Of our loyalties? Or does the world still have its hooks in us? Are we owned by causes that are not the cause of Christ? Do we stand and speak for things of this world or for His kingdom? How does the world see us? You see, it's easy for us to say, "Yeah, I'm different." But does the world see us that way? How does the world see us? Does the world think of us, think of you, think of me, and think, "That person, those people, are people of the cross? Or do they see us as liberals and conservatives? That's a hard one, I know. How were we known in the world? Are you a Jesus freak? Do they know that above all things about you? Or there are a whole bunch of other labels that they have for you? Do they see us as people of the cross or as businessmen and businesswomen? Or are we wearing the camouflage of the world, blending in with our surroundings? Does the world see us as holy, as different? Not perfect. God is perfect. We are not. Do they see us as different, as singular, as His? Do we love the same as the world? Do we hate the same? Do we act the same? Do we think the same? Let's look a little bit closer at those traits. Love. Do we love those who love us like the rest of the world? Hate. Do we hate those who hate us like the rest of the world? Or do we hate sin? Do we hate that which God hates and love what He loves? What about our actions? Do we act the same as the world? Rude, impatient, uncaring of how we speak to others or treat others? How do we treat those who mistreat us? Do we make choices regarding our time, our money, our relationships that display that God is Lord of our lives? What about how we think? What consumes our thoughts? Is God our first thought in the morning and the last before we sleep? Do we think of our situations like the way the rest of the world does? Consumed by the worries of life, owned by circumstances. Do we think of others the way the world does? Do we label whole groups of people under assumptions without seeing them as individuals deeply loved and valued by God? Do we begin to see how the word holy measures us? It's a scale for us. Paul the Apostle in Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world." What Paul means is, be holy. Be different. Belong to God alone in all things. Does the world see us that way? Do they look at us and marvel at our peculiarity? I mourn that I don't think they do. Very often, we're known for a whole myriad of other things. Isaiah 44 says, I will pour my spirit upon your offspring, and my blessing on your descendants. They shall spring up among the grass like willows by flowing streams. This one will say, I am the Lord's. And another will call on the name of the Lord, on the name of Jacob's. And another will write on his hand, the Lord's, and name himself by the King of Israel. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Beside me there is no God. Who is like me? Let him proclaim it. Let him declare and set it before me, since I appointed an ancient people. Let them declare what is to come and what will happen. Fear not, nor be afraid. Have I not told you from old and declared it, that you are my witnesses? Is there a God beside me? There is no, and the Hebrew says here, there is no rock, I know not any. There is no other rock, I know not any. Beloved, there is no other rock. He alone is holy, 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 and there is none like Him. Nothing and no one else deserves your loyalty. Only he is worthy of the elders' crowns. And only he is worthy of our lives. Only he is worthy of our worship. So I say, may we lay down every idol, every emotion and thought and deed, every distraction that vies for our attention, our affection, our loyalty. And may we begin to again be known as a holy people. Not people who have it all together, but people of the cross who are all about Jesus and nothing else. May we be known as his, with his thoughts on humanity, his thoughts on culture, his thoughts on our neighbor, his thoughts on those who see us as their enemies, and his thoughts on our every circumstance. And may we submit every desire, indeed our very selves, as clay into the potter's hand, molded by his holiness, by him, transformed by him, by being in his presence, to be what he desires us to be in all things. Until we look, until we are different as he is different. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we rejoice in the promise of Ezekiel 37 that says that you will put your spirit within us and you will cause us to walk in your statutes. It is you who makes us holy, Lord. You who makes us different, not us. Left to our own devices, we will be as the rest of the world is. But when we are in you and your spirit is within us and we walk in step with who you are, you make us different. So, Father, I pray that in every part of who we are, you will make us different. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.